want to talk about examining the underutilization of the community public health nursing credential and really get at the question of who gets credentialed. Now, it was through the lens of the public health infrastructure and public health systems research that I framed this study. You're all familiar with the pyramid that's not showing on the slide right now. It's our commonly used representation of our public health infrastructure, there it is, and its relationship to public health responses. Of course, public health infrastructure focuses at the bottom, this foundation, that basic infrastructure that relates to everything else and the success of everything else in that triangle. A central element to the public health infrastructure is this capacity of it and the stability of its workforce. In fact, it gets its own brick down here in the far right-hand corner. And the bullets here under workforce are those organizational elements that are among those frequently described in the literature on workforce-related topics around public health systems research. Recognizable credentials, then, was the piece that was the underpinning for this research. Credentialing issues are important for us right now in particular because there's a national debate underway right now regarding credentialing for the public health workforce in general. And also there's a new credentialing exam that's going to be offered in 2008 for the first time, overseen by the National Board of Public Health Examiners that Georges Benjamin even mentioned yesterday at the opening session. Credentialing is also becoming an increasingly important topic in relationship to the development of accreditation systems for public health systems around the country. And also public health systems research has credentialing high up in its research agenda. At the same time, credentialing research is still talked about as in its infancy. There's a lot we don't know about what credentialing does or could do. So given this context, my research examined what was going on in the public health nursing community specifically with regard to their or our own credential that's been around for more than 20 years when it was about to be discontinued in 2005 for lack of utilization, and really looking at also what did this have to say for the broader public health workforce as we look at this issue. So I looked at factors supported by and related to why public health nurses might be credentialed or not. And I asked, are there significant relationships between the individual characteristics of public health nurses, the value they perceive in relation to credentialing, the barriers they perceive with regard to obtaining and maintaining a credential, and their credential status? So I used this model and used it to examine these relationships. In my review of the literature, I found two scales that mirrored themes that had been ongoing from national discussions and were supported by the literature, and I incorporated these two scales into my instrument. One scale was around the value of credentialing. I used an existing scale called the Perceived Value of Credentialing Tool, and it had a Likert-type scale, 18 items, and the scale went from strongly disagree to strongly agree. It had been used in the past several times and had high reliability of around 0.924 pretty consistently. I also used a barrier scale, barriers to credentialing, that I modified, and it was from the National Certification Board of Pediatrics Nurses. It had 16 items, and I developed them such that they were measured by frequency. You could check any that apply that you felt applied, and you could also rank them 1 to 5, right? And I had people do both of those. My sample was taken from the listservs of the 4 organizations from the Quad Council of Public Health Nursing Organizations. I won't go through what all these 4 organizations are, but the biggest by far is the Public Health Nursing section of APHA right here. So I had 655 respondents, public health nurses, that responded to this national survey, online survey. And think of these respondents as basically probably leaders, emerging leaders, people more likely to be sort of in the know on some of these issues because they're part of a national organizations. So they were more likely to perhaps have an opinion on credentialing, potentially have some knowledge about it, et cetera. And also the questions were worded intentionally such that I was asking respondents to consider how they perceive the value and barriers of the public health nursing credential in general for the public health nursing workforce. In terms of this sample, they were more credentialed probably than the public. No one really knows how many public health nurses are credentialed, but certainly this sample was more credentialed than the general population. 20% had or have had the community public health nursing certification. They were represented both practice and academia. 44% were from each of practice sort of an academic settings. Those who said they were staff or field practitioners, those who said they were management and administration were almost all from, two-thirds were from local health departments. They were not particularly young. Surprise, surprise. 72% were over 50, but that our public health nursing population is not particularly young anyway, unfortunately. Although it's wonderful to have a lot of veterans around. They were mostly white. I could get myself. This is being recorded too, isn't it? They were mostly white. 16% of my population represented minority groups. They were well educated. 47% were master's prepared. 32% were had PhDs. I'll not spend a lot of time. One of the first things I had to do was do a factor analysis on the value scale. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I've already presented on that in the past, and it's also published in the literature at this citation here in a September issue of Public Health Nursing. But there were two factors that really came out of this factor scale through factor analysis. One was both the factors together accounted for almost 59% of the variability in how respondents perceive the value of credentialing. The first factor was around sort of this intrinsic personal value. They see value in terms of professional growth, and it gives me greater credibility, or gives people, public health nurses, greater credibility, et cetera, that kind of thing. And on this factor, over 90% of the respondents indicated agreement. So on a scale of 1 to 4, 4 being strongly agree that this item or these items or this factor provides high value, the mean was 3.4. So people put a lot of value in this. The second factor was more this external, extrinsic value of credentialing. It gives people recognition from employers, marketability, increases salary. That was much lower, but still 70% of people saw that as being valuable. Although increases salary was, you know, way down there. And on a scale of 4 to 1, this one had a mean of 2.9. In terms of the barrier scale, again, I won't go into this that much because it's in the literature, but there were 16 barriers that were presented to the respondents as, quote, potential reasons why many community or public health nurses have not pursued or maintained their community public health nursing credential. So there were, in those items, people ranked them, again, remember, from 1 to 5, and this chart represents the top five barriers, and no financial benefits was obviously very, very high. In terms of scoring, I was able to establish scores then for the value, those two value factors, and then continuous score too for the what I called a barrier intensity score. I won't go into the detail about how I established those scores unless people really want me to, but those scores incorporated the outcomes of the respondent rankings of these barrier items and applied a scale to each one of the rankings that people checked. And those scores took into account how many times a respondent checked certain items, what items they checked, and what items they did not check. There were also some mixed variables. Credential status was a dichotomous variable. You never were credentialed with the community public health nursing credential, or you were ever at some time or currently credentialed. There were other types of variables. Workplace was categorical, for example. Education was an ordinal variable. Now, to really get at the findings, get back to my model here, and I look at some of these different relationships. In terms of this relationship one, between individual characteristics and credential status, I used chi-square to look at that, and there were really only two individual characteristics that stuck out as being significantly associated, and those were around education and role, professional role. So if you're a graduate degreed, for example, you were significantly more likely to have had this credential or have it. If you had an academic role, you were significantly more likely. In terms of characteristics and value and barriers, so looking now at 2 and 3, relationships 2 and 3, I used analysis of variance, and there really was, interestingly enough, no significant mean differences. There's really not much to say there in terms of individual characteristics related to what value they place on credentialing. And similarly, there were no significant correlations between credential status and these continuous variables. Now, this slide I should have included with relationship 1, actually, because it relates to characteristics and credential status. But I also looked at one question related to characteristics and credential status in terms of whether they'd ever even heard of this credential. And actually, almost 22% of this sample of people in the know, remember, had never heard of this credential. And they were significantly less likely to have heard of this credential, to have never heard of this credential if they had no graduate degree, if they were not in an academic role or setting, or if the respondent was a representative of a racial or ethnic minority group. So that was kind of interesting. In terms of these final relationships, 1, 4, and 5, I was able to put those into a logistic regression. And what really, the bottom line that came out of that was really professional role was the thing that showed a significant relationship on credential status. So if you're a manager, public health nurses in management or administration had only a 30% predicted probability of being credentialed. On the other hand, if you were a public health nurse in an academic or research role, you had almost a 50% predicted probability of being credentialed. So when the academic versus management variables were put in with these perception variables, the value, the barriers, when those were included, the whole model correctly predicted 40% of those who had never been credentialed with this credential, and correctly predicted almost 69% of those who had been. But really, the continuous variables, the value barriers, they really contributed almost nothing. So in answer to the original question, who gets certified, it really appears that from this large sample of public health nurses, it appears to be people who are in or end up in academic roles. So credentialing seems to appear to be valuable to people. People value it, even though many of these people did not have this credential, but they placed it in high value. And that, in particular around the value, that my scale that I used, the PVCT, the perceived value of credentialing tool, it really had concurrent validity with other usages of that tool. It came up very similar to other previous usages. And in terms of the utilization of this credential, there's issues around perception. So clearly it's perceived to lack market benefits to a certain degree. And the issue of the public health system is not perceived to value credentialing, I thought was pretty interesting, given the environment right now in which this is something that's really being promoted. Also, certainly there's lower external value, this extrinsic value, than personal value that people hold around this. Also, access and awareness certainly appears to be an issue. Practicing public health nurses are less likely to have this credential. And minority public health nurses were less likely, for example, to even have heard of it. So community public health nursing credentialing is disproportionately utilized by public health nurses in academic settings, it appears. And it's underutilized by those in the practice community. So in this study of public health nurses with broad knowledge of the workforce, it's the value of the community public health nursing credential is perhaps limited by its perceived ability to adequately help in advancing careers, perhaps, and provide financial remuneration, and this lack of awareness. So public health nurses appear to place a high value in it, such that even those without the credential seem to consider it highly valuable. But even for that reason alone, we're going to have a credentialing program for public health nurses or for public health workers, then we've got some work to do. And that is, we need to very intentionally increase the visibility of this and perhaps other types of credentials, and particularly among people in practice, especially managers, especially people of color. We need to create systems to adequately recognize specialty certification. And then we need to monitor those credentialing systems for disparities in participation. Not doing these things is, or could, and perhaps already has, disadvantaged specific populations in our workforce. So in terms of further research, we have to always talk about what we're going to research next. We need intervention research to increase awareness and utilization of credentialing. We need to examine the benefits of community public health nursing credentialing and other types of credentialing in public health that we consider, and really be looking at the, for example, the relationship between credentialing and competency. There's very little in the research literature that says there's a relationship, or a relationship has been adequately substantiated. And in the public health system, as we look at public health system performance, how can we start to link credentialing and competency with system performance? And ultimately, we do this for the betterment of the public's health. So ultimately, do we improve the public's health when we do these things? There are limitations to this research. It was a cross-sectional study design, so you can't make strong causal inferences and generalize the findings. And I did not differentiate between the basic or the baccalaureate credential and the advanced or the graduate level credential. Also, I could not identify those with lapsed community public health nurses credentials. So you heard me always saying those who have had it or do have the credential. And lastly, what next? I want to be recommending, based on this research, what barriers need to be addressed and how, and all of us need to be talking about that, and inform the public health nursing and public health leaders regarding who appears underserved by the credentialing process, and then inform decision-making credentialing plans. And I'll be writing this up as well, and I've got a paper almost ready to submit. So hopefully that can get out and we can be discussing these issues. Any questions? Sylvia. There's two versions of this community public health nursing credential. There's the basic that you can take when you have a BSN, or if you have at least a master's, you can take the advanced version. It's a test, an examination. And you have to have completed so many clinical hours and things like that. I think you can do it in your degree, can't you? Yeah, it's part of in your bachelor's degree. Once you've completed your bachelor's degree, you will have fulfilled the requirements, I think, right? We think so. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the American Nurses Credentialing Center. It's a nationally recognized credential. Good, thank you. You've got. Right. Right. So the one was discontinued or at least suspended, and the other continues now. That was not, no, I did have rural and urban differences, yeah. But they did not have a, there's no, no. And there were not, that was, there were no differences associated with rural and urban, although, you know, there were not. I had rural, urban, frontier, and of course there were far fewer hardly any frontier, but the numbers were small, but no, there were no differences. Any other questions? And in California, California has its own certification for baccalaureate-prepared nurses, but I think that's unique to California. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.